Father, we want to thank you. Thank you that you've chosen, oh God, to tabernacle with us. Thank you, Lord, for your promises, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. You've promised to be where two or three gather in your name. We want to welcome your presence because you are here. We even want to thank you, Lord, for your word and for the fact that the entrance of your word brings light. We pray for your word, Lord, this morning. May it accomplish the purpose, Lord, for which you have sent it, you are sending it out, even this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today I'm not talking about sluggards. You know, people, I've met some people and I know you. From where? About, you know, you talked about sluggards. So we are looking at building relationships intentionally. This 6-part series on the spectator to participator theme has in the previous 3 Sundays covered the following topics. Designed for connection, which simply means that if you are not connecting, you are violating the design because we are designed for connection. Then the second part was importance of connection. Again, it's the same thing, that if you are not connecting, you are violating the design. Last week, Pastor Moffat led us through an invitation to Christian fellowship. Today, we are looking at building relationships intentionally. We'll look specifically at 3 intentional ways of building relationships. Because if you are not intentional, you won't build any relationship. You've got to be intentional. And the 3 ways that we are going to look at are, number 1, through gathering. Gathering is one way of being intentional at building relationships. The second one is opening your heart to others. Because if your heart is closed up, you won't build any relationship. And the third part is being tender-hearted. So those are the 3 areas that we are going to look at. So let's start with number 1. How do you build relationships intentionally by gathering? The question is, what type of gatherings build Christian relationships? What type of gatherings? And there are 2 types exemplified by the early church in Acts 2, verses 42 to 46. And Miracle Life Church emulates that model. That's the model that we emulate. So let's look at Acts 2, verses 42 to 46. And the Bible reads, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And hour came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. 46. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." In fact, here, if you look at it, it was day by day. Day by day. Every day. But for us, it's just once in a week. For the first type of gathering, So the first type of gathering in verse 46 was at the temple, and which we can be likened to worship services here at church, isn't it? So they were gathering together at the temple, likened to what we are doing, because we are saying that we follow the same model. So day by day, they gathered together at the temple, as we are doing right now. Now, every relationship is maintained by talking and interacting with each other. Amen. Every relationship. If you are not talking, you are not interacting, I wonder what kind of relationship that is. And that doesn't happen much at church here, does it? It doesn't, right? In such a gathering, in fact, in our case, you are compelled to greet your neighbor from your pulpit by being told, greet at least 5 people before sitting down. That type of interaction cannot build intentional relationships. It can't. I always wonder, why do you have to wait until you are told to greet 5 people? I thought you are just supposed to come and you are greeting each other. That is where relationships are going to be built. But if it's just to greet 5 people, then you do it automatically. You know, it's like mechanically, it will not lead us anywhere. That type of interaction cannot be with intentional relationships. That's why some of us complain that we were at church and no one noticed us. No one even greeted me. So this gathering, the first type, let's be intentional. You are seated with somebody on the right. How are you? So. Let's be intentional. You know that if you are busy doing something, you don't notice others who are not doing it. Because you are busy, right? Because you are busy. The people that play soccer, I'm not a soccer fan, but I know most of us are. We've got those who play soccer and the spectators. When you are spectating, you see so many mistakes that the people that are playing are not seeing. And it's like you know so much soccer than the ones that are playing. Go to the left. But those that are playing soccer, they are so busy. They are not even noticing that they are supposed to go to the left, as you are noticing. So really, don't be a spectator. Don't be. So the first gathering is this type, where we are gathering. So apart from the greet 5 people, another type of greeting we do is hello. If at all we even do it. And what is usually the response? Hello, hi. By the other person. No relationship whatsoever. The other one in this type of greeting is we ask the question, how are you? And our default answer is always fine. Even when you are not fine. Isn't that a form of lying? And how many of us are guilty of that? Me too. You know? Hello, hi. But that is not enough. Because we are not talking and interacting with each other. On Sundays, a pastor or speaker talks to us while we listen as you are doing. That's why everyone thinks you know the pastor. But without interacting and talking to one another, you know very little about a person. Just like what Pastor Moffat was saying, I've also encountered such. So maybe I go to a shop, it's like, hello, Pastor Addis. I'm like, hello, I don't know you. Because we haven't had any interactions. It's only when you are interacting, you are relating, that's when you end up building relationships. But let's look at verse 46 again. What does it say? And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. If, you know, for those who know English. And day by day, attending the temple together and doing what? They go together. Just like Shima goes with Radish. Right? When you are eating in Shima, I'm eating in Shima and chicken. So here, it's attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They were doing both activities. All right? So, the NKJV says, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. That is where small groups or connection groups come in. We cannot break bread here as we are seated here, apart from Holy Communion. There isn't so much we can do in a group of our size. But that's where we have small groups. The part of deep interactions and building relationships happens in CGs. It is all about doing life together with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Consistently. Not once in a while. Consistently. Studying the word together. Fellowshipping in a most tangible way. I don't think I can go to a small group, a connection group, and say, hello, then something should be wrong. Praying for each other in agreement. Because when you look at Matthew 18:18-19, what does it say? Where two or three gather in my name, and whatever the two of you shall agree upon and pray, what has God promised? I'll do it. So in a small group, it's possible for you to agree with somebody, to agree even as a group, and pray, and we will see God doing things. That's where we fellowship and eat together, and much more. That's why we are having this campaign, so that everyone can consider Hebrews 10:24-25. What does it say? And let us consider one another, in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let us consider how to stir up, you know, love. And how is it done? It's by assembling together, gathering ourselves together. So some, it says, as you know, it's as is the manner of some. I hope you are not amongst the some. You know? That you are those who, you are that one who gathers with others. Now, last year, The connection groups department conducted the survey on those who joined the CGs and dropped off after 6 months or 1 year. Here is the question that was being asked. What can be done to improve CGs? The three top answers with the highest percentage were, there were three. Make it more connected. The other one was, make it more relational. The third one was, it should have contributions from more members of the CG. A CG, ladies and gentlemen, is not for preaching. You shouldn't be the only one talking while others listen. Like during the church service, you know, I'm the only one talking. Don't take it to the CG. On the other hand, you shouldn't be a silent listener at every gathering either. Because for some, again, at every gathering, they are just listening. Anything, Sister Nsonso, I'm listening. We are talking about being intentional at interacting. These concerns also apply to impact and merge small group gatherings. It's also like a connection group. It's a small group. Even there, you are not just there to, I'm listening. Or you are the only one who is talking, and some of us will enjoy talking. You know, if you are just listening again, I don't know, are there people here who remember those pictures we used to have in our homes written, Christ is the silent listener in every conversation? Anybody? You remember? I also had that one. There is already Christ as the silent listener. And he is enough. As for you, be a participant when needed. Go to the gathering with the intention of giving and receiving in turn. That should be your intention. Where I'm going to give even as I receive. You know, at one time I was invited to a grade 9 oral exam. This grade 9 oral exam, it's where a group is given a topic. And each one is supposed to say something. I still remember this guy up to this minute. You know, for him, he was seated there, and all that he said was, he would look at the other one is talking, then he would just come up and say, I concur with you, my brother. That's all. Whoever said something, I concur with you. So you can imagine what grade that guy got. Because he didn't say anything. Okay. But we are guided on how our gatherings are supposed to be. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. We are guided how our meetings ought to be. And here's what it says. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn. The other one has a what? A revelation. The other one has a what? A lesson, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for doing what? For building up. So when you get there, it's like for building up. We are building up each other. So don't just go there as a silent listener. This verse tells us that each one should be a participant in a CG gathering, encouraging and being encouraged as well. In that way, you build relationships and connect with others. You know, some people come to the meeting, they are hurting. Some, they just come, they just need a hug, a smile, or a listening ear, prayer, and many more. Let's do life in these small groups. It's only in the small groups where we are going to do life together. I really look forward, for me, every Wednesday, we do have our CGs, Wednesdays, 18 hours. I look forward to those interactions. Openly sharing and interacting, caring, and looking out for one another. And our group has been in existence from 2010. It has multiplied, but it's still there. That's where we do life together. And if you ask me, we have got people that are bankers working from town. And we are in Chalala Athawina there. You know, bankers would have an excuse of, I'm still working. You know that? They are always there. There are some who call at 18 hours, that's when I'm knocking off, but I'm on my way. And they get there. What are those excuses that you always have? Some of us have got so many excuses. Really. For anything that is giving you life, for anything that is energizing you, I don't think you can have a good excuse. Be there. Be there. Even the day that you are not there, others will even understand you are busy. There is something that has made you not to be there. But if you want an excuse, you always find it anyway. Even this morning, you would have found an excuse if you wanted to. But you are here because you are intentional to be here. There is always an excuse when you are looking for it. Amen. And the other thing also about our connection groups, about our small gatherings, and I'm saying this is also to do with impact and made small groups. If your gathering is so mechanical, starting with, let's have an opening prayer. Brother and so-and-so, open in a word of prayer. They open in a word of prayer. And then the meeting starts. Question number one. You've never been to such meetings. Question number two. In fact, question number one. Any contributions? Now, no one is saying anything. Okay, we can go to question two. And you move to question two. And if you are the ones also who cause those who talk a lot to talk alone. Because when they ask any contributions, you are quiet. So Johnny starts. And he would talk. After all, because others are not contributing, what kind of relationships are you going to build like that? So even me, such kind of meetings, I don't think I'll be finding myself there. Secondly, building relationships intentionally involves opening our hearts to others. Building relationships involves opening our hearts to others. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11. This was Paul talking to the Corinthians. Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide. Our hearts are opened wide. In CGs, we talk to one another at a deeper level. That's why we insist on groups of not more than 12. But then, the opening of your heart is dependent on who? On yourself, not on others. You have a choice to make. You have a choice to make. There are so many things that make us have closed hearts. Many things. But when somebody opens their heart to you, you are supposed to reciprocate. You also open your heart. So here, Paul was urging the Corinthians. We have talked to you openly. We've opened our hearts. Are you sure you would expect a relationship to appear where there are no open hearts? There will be no relationship because you have closed yourself up. To build relationships, you need to open your heart to others by being authentic. Look at Romans 12, verse 9. What does it say? Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Let love be without hypocrisy. You know, if it has hypocrisy, what it means, eh? But here we are being told, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Let love be without hypocrisy means that love should be genuine, sincere, and not a pretense or a facade. It emphasizes that Christian love should be authentic, arising from a heart, from the heart, and not motivated by self-interest or a desire for recognition. So let love be without hypocrisy in our midst, even as we gather in these small groups. There is only one way that this can happen. It's only where there is trust. And trust is only built where there is vulnerability and authenticity. Someone has defined vulnerability as being ready to be hurt. That's what vulnerability is all about. Being ready to be hurt. Being ready to be hurt. You are being vulnerable. Because if you are not being ready to be hurt, it's like you'll be guarded. You don't want anyone to come close to you. If anyone tries to get near, you close up. You know what I'm talking about? When somebody tries to, if they are just, you just want them to be at a distance. But as soon as somebody is trying to get close to you, you close up. And some of our relationships are like so. But in a small group, in that gathering, we are supposed to be open and vulnerable. But then, you are saying, after all, you are even saying, you don't know what you are talking about. Thirdly and lastly, building relationships intentionally involves being tender-hearted. It involves being tender-hearted. Ephesians 4, what does it say? Let's read Ephesians 4 together. In fact, we'll start from 31 and then we'll end up in Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 2. Here's what it says. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. That's what being tender-hearted is all about. Word of caution. If you find a perfect group, please don't join it. If you find a perfect group, don't join it. You know why? Because you are going to make it imperfect. There is no perfect group or church anywhere on earth, because we are human beings and we are imperfect after the fall. We have all been affected by the fall. There is no perfection. But if you are out there looking for perfection, you won't find it. Some of us will never develop intentional relationships because we've been hurt in Christian relationships. And I'm addressing those this morning. Some of us will never, ever. Why? Because we even boast, not with me. For me, if somebody does this for me, I don't forgive. Be tender-hearted. Be tender-hearted. If you are doing that, you are giving the devil a stronghold. You are giving the devil a stronghold. And the other thing is, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If you have a tender heart, then you are humble. God will resist you, but he gives grace. He gives grace to who? To the humble. Not those who boast of me. Once I get annoyed, I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed. Once I'm annoyed, me. That one, never. So some of us are so guarded, and we are just waiting for this campaign period to go back. It's so that we go back to our normal. Going back to our normal one-unit commando. In case we get hurt. So, when are they finishing? So that, you know, I can go back. Because for me, once I get annoyed, I'm annoyed. Really? Ephesians 4. 15 to 16. Here is what is happening. Because you are cutting yourself from the body. So you should realize that you are also hurting the body of Christ by separating yourself from the body. Imagine this is the body and the toy gets separated from here. the body is hurt. If any part of the body gets chopped off from your physical body, what happens? There is hurt, right? Ephesians 4, verses 15 to 16, here is what it says. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You are essential to the body of Christ. You are essential. Without you, the body of Christ will not grow. We are supposed to be growing together. I beg you, if you've been hurt in Christian relationship, it is normal. You know, as long as you are in proximity, you know, crushing each other, you know, like that, is just inevitable. But what matters is how you take it. You are going to crash. You are going to screech each other. But how you take it matters. We are talking about being intentional. You can only be intentional by overlooking a hurt. In fact, love covers a multitude of sins. And in these, our small groups, we are able to do that. You know, God instructed Jeremiah to ask two questions in Jeremiah 8, verse 4. That could be applicable to those who have vowed to keep to their space. Here were the questions. Jeremiah said to the people, this is what the Lord says. When people fall down, don't they get up again? When they discover they are on the wrong road, don't they turn back? Those questions apply to us as well. Some of us who have vowed, for me, I just want to be in my own space. When people fall down, don't they get up again? They do, isn't it? Imagine somebody has fallen down and they are just down. So when people fall, they still get up. They don't just remain there. When they discover they are on the wrong road, what do? They turn back. They turn back. I want us to respond this morning. And I'm starting with this very group. We can all stand up. You are here. And you've experienced hurt in Christian relationship. And has vowed never to relate again. You are here. I don't know what happened, but you know. For you to decide never again, it means it was hurtful. But the word of the Lord says, be tender-hearted. I want you to, if you are in this category, quickly just raise your hand wherever you are. Raise your hand if you've been hurt and hurt so badly. You just raise your hand and then you put it down. You raise your hand and you put it down. You've been hurt. You've been hurt. And it's so bad. Thank you. Thank you for all those hands. Thank you for all those hands. Thank you. Thank you for all those hands. You've been hurt. Just where you are, let's just pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for each of these dear ones that have raised their hands, acknowledging, Lord, the hurt that they've experienced, even through Christian love. Lord, this morning I pray for each and every one of them. Because, Lord, you tell us to have tender hearts. I pray for grace. Grace to be able to forgive. Grace to be able to let it go. Grace, my God, grace, because we know that you do resist the proud, but you do give grace to the humble. Each one of these, I pray that their healing starts today. That today, Lord, their healing starts because they choose to forgive. In Jesus' mighty name.